Chuck Chan Freestyle for September 3rd, 2012, the final day. This is Labor Day. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
We are on our way to deliver you to Michigan Tech University for your second year?
Second year.
And yesterday, where were we?
Dragon Con in the morning.
In the morning. And let's back up a little bit, because the last time we talked to these listeners was Friday night after the live Technorama show. And what happened Saturday morning?
Parade, yay.
And did we get right to the parade?
No.
What happened?
Dad decided to take the stairs.
But now, wait a minute. You have to explain why. Because everybody and their brother was trying to get to the parade. The parade started at 10 o'clock and it was 9:30 by the time we got Craig and me and Julie out the hotel room door. And the elevators were full, or they just didn't stop. As I heard later that many of them have sensors on them, so when they reach their weight limit or close to the weight limit, they don't stop to pick up more people. They're already full, so pretty smart elevators. So nothing was stopping at our floor and time was passing, and I said, look, let's just take the stairs. So I headed out first, and I found the stairway, and it went down, 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 down. That was pretty easy. Down, 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 down. Until I got to about floor 14, and then I noticed after that, there was about one exit every four or five floors, which didn't seem very fire safe to me. I didn't realize that there was not a door on every floor, and those that had them after that point had card readers, some of which were broken, till I got all the way to the bottom and it said, fire exit only, alarm will sound. So I started climbing back up. Try the one with the card reader. My room key doesn't work, and it's still locked. Try the next one up about three, four floors, and the card reader is missing. It's just this ribbon cable connected to nothing. And it was locked. And then that's where I met Julie and Craig coming down. I said, we gotta go up to 14 and hope for an elevator, which we did. Then we got out to the street, and what did we find?
Crowds?
Billions of people lining the streets, all ready for their parade. So we squeezed between them, got out on a Peachtree Street, where there was still minimal traffic, but we could walk at a brusque pace down to, I can't remember the name of the park at the moment. It's on the tip of my tongue. And we found our group, Everything Dragon Con, and we found some more Men in Black people. That was fun.
The walk up there was fun. Everybody was saying, oh, look, Men in Black.
Yeah, it was like we had our own little private parade going the wrong direction. So Craig said, why don't you walk backwards? Then they can play the video the other way. So for a while, maybe 10 feet or so, I went, waving backwards. How do you wave backwards?
Go left, right, instead of right, left.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Now that'll make sense. And after the parade, what did we find? How was the parade?
Very warm, but fun. Lots of fun.
Who did we see at the beginning of the parade?
Stan Lee.
Yay! Stan Lee and?
Lou Ferrigno.
And they were talking to each other. And then we had to leave because we were right near the front of the parade. We were like group number 5. So that was nice that it wasn't terribly hot. It was warm, right?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
It was just humid, so it was hard to lose the heat. And you were carrying a neuralizer, right?
Yep, neuralizer.
And did you zap any babies?
No.
Not intentionally. And fortunately, what was at the end of the parade?
There was a Boy Scout troop handing out cold water to everybody. It was so nice.
And the other advantage of being at the beginning of the parade is there wasn't enough water at the end of the parade.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that happened last year, too. I think some people took two. And then we went into the Marriott and walked through the hotels to try and cool off on our way back to the Westin. And we kind of got stuck on, because we have to cross Peachtree to get back to the Westin. And what happened?
You walked right through the pirate float.
First we had to get out onto the street, which was difficult. And then we had to bust our way back into the other side. Yeah, we walked through the pirate float, but they were stopped-ish. And I headed in a little too early. I still had to do some upstream. And this year they did a wonderful, wonderful job about keeping the crowds off of the street. Everybody was at the curb or behind, which means the sidewalks were denser than they normally would have been. So there was no traffic flow behind the crowd on the sidewalk. And that meant I got stuck because there was a wheelchair heading north and I was heading south and there was no room. And I got stuck between a dolphin statue and a parking meter right outside the Westin. Well, Craig and Julie had better sense. They walked upstream and busted their way into the crowd directly in front of the stairway. So all they had to do was jump over a line of chairs. How'd you get through that anyway?
No, we were trying to go around the chairs. You had to jump over the line of chairs. All we had to do was, you know, step over some small children in River Song and around a wheelchair or something.
And then we got into the Westin. It was nice and cool. And we immediately changed because everything was hot and sweaty and wet and blech. What did we do after that?
Slept? I forget.
Oh, I know. We invited Clinton over.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He dumped his griffin costume as soon as he got out of the parade.
Yeah, he trashed it. He threw it out. The jacket, the sweater, which you thought we were hot. He had a hat on.
Yeah, that was crazy. We're already trying to plan new, cooler in temperature costumes for next year.
Skirts and kilts all around.
And some sort of corset, maybe, that has a pump on a wheel that works by, you know, gears, and then it pumps coolant or water or something through the stays, and, you know, like how race car drive... No, not race car... what is it? Football players.
They astronauts,
yeah. Yes, and astronauts. Yeah, yeah. Something like that. That'd be good.
That'd be good. We'll steampunk it so it looks good. So we'll have a push cart with steampunk radiator, and then the hoses will feed back into our outfits, and we will be happy. What did we do with Clinton?
Oh, we misted the Star Trek episode about paradise.
This side of paradise, yes, where they get shot with the spores, the Happy New Year plants. And how was that?
That was fun.
We had a few technical challenges at the beginning because Craig's mixer was giving us some ifs and ups and farts and starts, and then we forgot to hit record once. We got about 10 minutes into it. Then we had to go back. I think we started, about 3 or 4 times. So the beginning should have some good dialogue. And then when we were done with that, it wasn't quite parsec time. What did we do between parsecs and Misty?
We went to the vendor rooms for a while.
I think we did vendor room later, right before they closed at 7. That was after parsecs. Before, we went to the Walk of Fame. Did you see anybody?
Yeah, we saw lots of people. We saw Colin Ferguson and Felicia Day and Zane, the guy who does Zane, and lots of people.
Batman and Robin?
Batman and Robin, yeah, they were old.
And Pip from Lord of the Rings?
And don't go up to him and say, I love you, Frodo! Because that's not right.
Billy
West?
No, Billy Bodie? What's his name?
I don't know.
I can't remember. It's Billy's own. No, yeah, Billy West wasn't there. Billy West wasn't there. His chair was empty. There were a lot of empty chairs. I think it was lunchtime or something. Late lunch. Afternoon tea or something that everybody was out for. And then we went to the Parsec Awards. And what did you see?
Way too much of... What's it?
George Robb.
Yeah.
Explain?
He came out and he thought they were doing the nude speculative fiction.
Best nude podcast.
So he only had his guitar on.
Hey, that was a shocker to a lot of people. I think that's there's going to be a new rule, you know, because somebody has to ruin it for everybody. Next year there's a clothing rule.
Look back at that and say, yep, that was my rule.
And Clinton has always had this long-standing thing that he wanted to always be dressed better than George Robb, who always comes with a suit and tie and looks real nice as he performs. That's kind of his standard performing gig. I think he even wears that in his sleep. And so Clinton had a tux and a bow tie, and George had nothing. And Clinton said, hooray, I finally dressed better than George. I said, nope. So the award ceremony was fun. We had good musicians there. Marion Cole performed again. She had a wonderful song called Karaoke. At least I think that's the name of it. She opened with that. That was funny. Had another one that got the group singing along about zombies and blood and something. It was
Cheerleader Zombies.
Cheerleader Zombies. And they opened with an electric harp, an electric cello, and they were good, but I think they went a song or two long.
Yeah.
It was getting.
Felt like I was at one of your school functions.
Yeah, the chairs started getting hard. You know it's too long when your ass falls asleep. So, after you said we went to the vendor rooms, did you see anything that interested you? We only had one, and it closed in about 15 minutes, so we didn't get much to see, but,
there were a lot of funny t-shirts.
A lot of funny. What was one of your favorites?
Oh, man. There was one with a T-Rex and a Triceratops, and it said, "Chris, your sudden but inevitable betrayal."
Which is a line from?
Firefly.
Just in case we don't have all the geek listeners on this show that we do on Technorama. And then after the vendor room, where did we go?
After that was Tom Smith.
Yes, it was. And we went and saw Tom Smith, who we've seen perform for the last couple of years. Last year I got Julia a few DVDs, so she knew some of the songs. And how was that?
That was so funny. That was long.
That was long. He was only supposed to do an hour presentation, but he went for 2.5 hours because nobody was in the room after him. So, graciously played on and on, and wonderful performer because he interacts very well with the audience, and the audience interacts very well with him. And there was a first this year. What was the first?
The first?
What was on the flip chart?
The body count.
Explain the body count.
Every time somebody kept laughing after everybody else had stopped, we were like, oh, broke another one. And they went on the body count.
So I noticed there was a flip chart up there. We got to about 4 or 5. I ran up, grabbed a marker, and put tally marks on there. And then we noticed that every once in a while we would stump Tom, and he would start laughing and stop performing. And we broke him a few times, too. But I think the ultimate score was he won.
It was like 17-5.
After 2.5 hours, that's a lot of laughter and a lot of interaction. Which is why we love him. And I've asked him to be on Technorama again. We'll see if we can get him. We have one song that we couldn't identify that's very, very funny. We know the words, but we don't know what the song title is. And that's the one that broke Julie. What was the line that you thought was very funny?
It was about, like, back in the good old days, and when I was a boy, and we walked uphill both ways in the snow and everything. And there was one line, we programmed in ones and in zeros, but sometimes... No, what was it?
Yeah, you're right.
And sometimes we ran out of ones.
And she just laughed. That was funny. I don't think Craig's ever seen you break down like that. When I do that, I get that really high laugh.
Yeah.
And it's uncontrollable when you hit that. But it's fun. It was fun. And that went to about 11-ish. And I think that was it for Saturday night. How about Sunday? What did we do?
Not much. We packed up and we sat in on a steampunk writer's thing and something before that.
Yeah, T and Pip were there. They were also at the Parsec Awards on Saturday afternoon. And, you know, that was it. Was that interesting? Did you enjoy listening to the writers?
Yeah, that was cool.
They had different opinions. And actually, I think... What was it? They mentioned one show. I think it was T.
They mentioned
a show called Copper on BBC America that I started on the DVR, and we'll check that out when I get home. Then we had to get going because our flight, which was originally for 6:55 p.m. on Delta, got changed a couple of months ago to 2:55 p.m. So we decided, let's not mess around. Let's get to the airport. We'll have a little casual time. We left about 11, 11:30-ish. Peachtree Station MARTA escalator was broke, so we had to go in from the other side, which was a little confusing, but we got that turned around. Got to the airport, and we were sitting there and realized, oh, we missed a call from Mom. She had called because Delta had left a message that our flight had been delayed. Oh, joy. So first they move it up 4 hours, then they delay it about 45, 50 minutes. And we found that it was moved to, you know, from gate C48 to C30. We go to C30 and we're sitting there and Julie's doing her homework and I'm putting together a PowerPoint for work. And after about 45 minutes, we decided to get up, make one final bathroom break, and go to the gate. And that's when I discovered it wasn't at C40 now. it was D40. So we're in the wrong terminal. We got to go downstairs and catch that little tramway over to D. As I come up and we're walking to the gate, they moved it up from a 3:55 departure to, what was it, like 3:38? So we thought we had a few minutes time, and then realized, oh, this is going to be just perfect, and it was actually kind of tight. So we did get on board. Good thing we didn't dilly-dally. We should have gotten to the gate a lot sooner, in retrospect, and done our homework in PowerPoint there. And then got on the plane. I think it was pretty uneventful. About 2 hours and 10 minutes from Atlanta to Appleton, and that is one of the few direct flights you can get out of Appleton without going through Detroit or Minneapolis, if you count those direct flights. That doesn't count. Or Chicago if you're flying United. So I was thoroughly enjoyed. We did fly over the remnants of Hurricane Isaac. Very beautiful. A little rough at first, but then when we came out of the rough stuff and got up to altitude, it was kind of scenic to look down at all the different cloud formations and see an anvil top here and there from the big storms, recognizing that people down below were getting rained on. Hope everybody's okay from that, and the storm has passed. And then we landed about 5 p.m. in Appleton, so we got our time zone back. We had a nice short direct flight. I'd love to take the direct flight down at some point if it lines up with our schedule. Is that I could really get used to that. It's one of the things that I miss about being in a smaller area than a larger metropolitan, you know, say Chicago or St. Louis or something, where you can fly direct to a lot of other places. But it would also mean that I'm on the road a little bit more for work, because recently our engagement manager for a current client said, "Hey, can you come out Monday and work?" I said, "Well, it'll take me all day Monday to get there, because it takes about 6 hours of travel with the jump to Chicago or Detroit or Minneapolis, and then a layover, and then another flight. So sometimes you add a time zone or two, and sometimes you subtract a time zone or two, but the net travel is about 6 hours, and that pretty much shoots your whole day on travel, unless I get up at 6 a.m., or get a 6 a.m. flight out of Appleton, which there are some. I mean, they recognize that, and get the flights going early in the morning so people can work at least part of a day at their destination. So, enough about the work. Sunday we got home, watched a couple of TV shows. I was out for a walk, and I started recording this show a couple of times. Once on Audioboo, realized that I was going to go long, and then another time I was using Dropbox or iTalk or another recording program on the iPhone, and ran into a former coworker of mine who was visiting. He just got a job down in Rockford, Illinois area. He was up for the weekend, and we talked and talked and talked and talked until it got dark. So that was about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour on the road, out in the middle of Lindale construction, where we just caught up with each other because we haven't seen each other for about 6 months. So it was a nice discussion, and then got home and packed up a little bit of stuff to take this trip. So I'm dropping Julie off this afternoon. It is just afternoon Eastern time, back in the Eastern time zone. We were in Central for a whole 12 hours, if that. And then I've got a friend who offered to get together this afternoon. I've got an interview to do with one of the, I don't know if he's a professor or alumna, something up here, Robert Nimeroff, who is associated with the Astronomy Photo of the Day. I think it's Astronomy Picture of the Day. I just say it wrong all the time. APOD. And I'll talk to him for a Technorama interview, just a short little 20, maybe 30 minute tops thing, and get that published right away. Then I'll head down to Marquette to see my parents and my sister, spend the night there, and head back to Appleton tomorrow, where I have a 4 p.m. call with my boss. So, that's it for this trip. I am going to very miss Julie. We've been having a lot of fun reliving DragonCon memories on the web, and she's been trying to study the last of her chemistry stuff. Is this required, Julie?
Yeah.
They send you homework before the semester even starts?
It's not really due because it's reading, but you're going to have to do it eventually.
Okay, so it's like background material?
Yeah, sure.
And you were showing me one thing that said, and see the following figure, and it looked like a horrific schematic from a hardware engineer. What was that?
That was the process flow diagram for the hydro dealkylation of something, toluene to benzene.
Oh, we were joking about that just the other day. That's a process flow diagram? It looks like a schematic.
No, I lied. That's a piping and instrumentation diagram, not the process flow.
Oh, so you could build your own toluene to benzene converter, or the other way around?
The other way around.
Okay, convert benzene to toluene. We were looking at the different things you can make out of benzene. Toluene and polystyrene and... there's a whole bunch of stuff. So Julie's getting really, really smart on the chemical engineering, and she's got her second year ahead of her. Eager to get back to your boyfriend, Will?
Absolutely.
And your roommate, Molly?
Yeah.
So a lot of good times ahead, and we will very miss you. Wish you all the best, and you're going to keep in touch from time to time?
Of course.
Skype call here and there. But this is probably the last you hear of Julie on this podcast. Maybe a weekend visit or something. Until Christmas or so. Or Thanksgiving. Yeah, you got Thanksgiving week off?
Yeah, the week.
That'll be fun. So, we have gone on longer than your usual one, but a special occasion for the weekend DragonCon wrap-up and getting Julie off to school. So, until next time, take care, be good, and we need one more thing.
Binary high five. You never forget...
This is freestyle. We don't do the binary high five, but I guess we can. Yeah, okay. Binary high five.
101.